May not be a football fan, I don't blame you, but the Eagles did beat the Chiefs. And what was interesting to me was at the end, the interviews with the coach of the Eagles and then Jalen Hurts, who is the quarterback for the Eagles, as he said this when he was interviewed. He says, God is good. He's greater than all the highs and the lows. And I thought that was a lot of maturity. A young man, here's the apex of his career, but he's had some difficulties that he's gone through to say, look, I serve something greater, and it's God, and he's faithful. He's good in the highs and the lows. And Jalen Hurts has actually been really public about his faith, and he shares this. It says, it's not easy stepping into a leadership role on a professional team like the Eagles. This is his words. Hurts believes his childhood uniquely equipped him to be a leader that he is today. He believes his father played a huge role in that. And tonight we're going to talk about what it means to be a parent, but not only a parent, but if you don't have kids or you're single, to be able to impact that next generation. And so Jalen Hurts is saying, look, my father really impacted me. He says, I came up being a coach's kid down there in Houston, Texas. Texas high school football is a huge thing, and I was part of it for a long time. Over my childhood, I saw my dad handle situations. I saw how my dad led the troops. I saw how he coached, saw how he was able to communicate and build relationships with a ton of different people. John 13:7 says, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. This is one of the verses in the Bible that has proven to be inspirational to Hurts. So here he is, he's saying, I watched my dad. I watched my dad live out his faith and the way that he coached, and it impacted me later on, just how the disciples were able to look back at Christ's influence in their life. He goes on to talk about the importance of God's word in his life. He says, Every day diving into God's word and receiving the word that he has for me. The reason that I bring this up is it just shows the impact that a mom or dad can have on their child. We get that one moment, that Super Bowl flash in the pan and that quote that is shared, but what's gone in behind it? All these years of investment in Jalen's life and Jalen pressing in to Christ. So there's a lot of buzz about generations, isn't there? We make a lot of generations as Americans. We've got the baby boomer generation, and then Gen X, and then millennials, and then Gen Zs, and then after that, I lose track. There's a few more generations that are coming up. But one of the things that's been on my heart for some time is that God would impact this next generation. And this is something that we're praying for as church leadership and as a church, is that God would touch the hearts of young people. And we see this in a lot of different ways. I think one of the ways this was deepened in my heart several years back, there was a young man from our church that grew up in our church, and he took his own life. He was in high school, and he decided to take his life. And in that season, there was a lot of youth in our city that were taking their life. And it just really deepened my heart for this next generation. And so if you would join me in that prayer, you know, join me that God would reach this, what appears to be at times a hopeless generation. And I'm really encouraged what God's doing in our youth ministry and what God's doing in the children's ministry. And we're seeing God impact this next generation. In Judges 2, verse 10, it said this. It says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who didn't know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. So Joshua's generation, they go in, they get the promised land, but pretty quickly they pass away, and the next generation, they didn't know all that God had done for Israel. Well, how did that happen? Well, the parents didn't pass it on. The parents didn't share these stories of God's goodness and faithfulness. There was years as a pastor here at RMC that I didn't know we had living, legendary history in our church every week. Donald Stratton attended RMC, and he was a survivor of the USS Arizona, and he has since gone home to be with the Lord. And he'd always sit with his wife upstairs in the upper room at the Saturday night service, and I knew them for years and years, and their son and daughter-in-law come with them to church. And one night after church, I'm watching Nova, and I'm like, wait a second, I know that guy. That's Don Stratton, and they were interviewing him from his experience on the Pearl Harbor. And thankfully, we were able to have him and his wife over for dinner and firsthand hear his story. He went on to write a book and was able to sit with them in his house as he talked about his book. But now he's with the Lord. That history is gone. That generation is passing away. It's referred to as the greatest generation. Maybe sometimes in your family, you're like, I wonder what our family history is. I need to talk to grandma. I need to talk to grandpa. I need to talk to my parents about what our family history is. And then all of a sudden, grandma passes away. Grandpa passes away. Mom passes away. Dad passes away. And you're like, they're gone. I can't firsthand get those stories anymore. So it happens quicker than we think. And for those of us that are parents, it's that challenge, that instruction from the Lord to pass on what God has done in our lives. But if you don't have kids, I think that there's a biblical mandate to all of us to invest in the next generation. You know, you maybe don't have the opportunity to be a parent. It's not what God has allowed for you. I got to tell you, there's a lot of kids here that could use your love and investment to pour into them. And so I think it's part of following Christ is to have a heart for the next generation. So let's start in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. So we see what we're not to do. We're not to provoke them to wrath. We talked about that on Sunday. But then what are we to do? We're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And that's what I'd like to look at in depth tonight. What does it look like to pass the baton on to the next generation, whether it's your child, your grandchild, or someone that God has brought into your life? So let's jump to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles. And if you're taking notes, write this down, is value the next generation. Value the next generation. We're going to see that kids are to be valued. Children are to be valued. Isn't it interesting how generations don't understand each other? Like, I can remember my grandma Cartier. It was Thanksgiving, and we were visiting with her. We were in the Safeway in her little hometown in Camas, Washington, and we were going to get some Martinelli's to celebrate with the Thanksgiving dinner. And she had the hardest time with it, and she got so upset, and she got so angry, because she's like, we can drink water. We don't need to have Martinelli's for dinner. And my dad's like, I think we can afford this bottle of Martinelli's. It's Thanksgiving. And this argument broke out in the Safeway over the Martinelli's. And I had the hardest time as an 8 or 9 year old, like, why is grandma so uptight? And she was blessed with a decent amount of money. Like, she could afford it. My dad could afford it. It was okay. But she had lived through the Depression. And so everything, her worldview was completely different because of what she's gone through. So generations go through different things, and it forms their values, and we tend to not understand each other, right? And so we can tend to look down on the generation that's beneath us, but God says to value the next generation. So in verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, unless the Lord guards the city. In context, this is referring to family. So those that are parents, God wants to build your house. He wants to build your family. God is into family. It's his design. He takes pleasure in building a family. Maybe you're praying about getting married, you're dating, you're engaged. Give it to the Lord and say, God, if you'd have us to be married, would you build our marriage? If you want us to have kids, would you build our home? But this is also a warning, isn't it? Is that we can try to do marriage and family and parenting apart from the Lord, and to look to the Lord and say, God, would you build the house? And the exhortation is, we can labor and labor in vain, unless God's doing the work. God wants to build and God wants to protect. And this is one of the biggest struggles for us as parents to believe this, that God wants to build our family and God wants to protect our family. Let God do his job and do the things that God is calling us to under his umbrella, under his covering. Also, I think as we endeavor to see God touch the next generation, we've got to rely upon the Lord. There's no strategies that can do this. It has to be a work of the Spirit. It has to be a move of God. And to say, Lord, would you build the house? Lord, would you build the youth ministry? God, would you bless this Ignite conference that is coming up? God, would you work through children's ministry? Maybe there's somebody in your life that is younger than you that you're feeling called to invest in. Is ask the Lord to show you how. Lord, how would I build a bridge into their life? How could I invest in them? And I think God will be faithful to answer that prayer. But for us as parents, take this to heart. Let God build the house. Let God guard the city. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bed of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. God has a sense of humor. It just so happened this morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep, right? And I got to tell you, it's a vain thing. There's no need to be up at 3 a.m. So a lot of times, why are we up at 3 a.m? Why are we staying up late at night? Because something's on our heart and something's on our mind. In Philippians 4, it says, be anxious for nothing. That's actually a command. God is commanding us to knock it off. You know, stop worrying. So here we are as parents, we're worrying about how to build the family, how to protect the family, and we're losing sleep, and God's saying, hey, get your rest. Trust these things to me. Put it into my hands. Don't be in a place of anxiety. Don't be in a place of eating the bed of sorrows. And then, guys, this is prophetic. We're going to believe this in faith tonight. He gives his beloved sleep. Amen? So if you're sleeping in the back, the Lord bless you. He gives his beloved sleep, right? It's a blessing from the Lord when we sleep and we're able to be in that place of trust. And here we see this value of the next generation in the next few verses. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of a womb is a reward. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reserved blessing from the Lord. How does culture see kids? Culture sees kids as a burden, as an inconvenience. We're finding more and more that younger couples aren't wanting to get married. They're not wanting to have kids. The birth rate in the United States continues to go down. But this is not how God sees kids. Parents, we have to be reminded of this sometimes. If God has given you children, they are a heritage from the Lord. They are to be valued. That word heritage means reserved blessing. So think of somebody in their will where they're like, okay, this family member gets this family member gets that. I'm reserving this blessing for them. God's a wonderful father, and he's like, I'm going to give them a specific blessing, that child. And it's amazing. You get 21 chromosomes from mom, 21 chromosomes from dad. And the Lord brings about this unique person that has their own personality. And it's God's reserved blessing for us. And those that don't have children, all children are a blessing. Jesus looked at the children and allowed the children to come to him, and he blessed them. So when we look at our own kids, or we look at this next generation, are we like, man, they're a bunch of snot-nosed kids? Or are like, they're a heritage from the Lord. My kids are a heritage from the Lord. I hope you enjoyed the family service this last weekend at church. It was fun to have the kids in here. They're the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a miracle for conception to take place. It's a miracle for a healthy pregnancy and a delivery. It's a reward. It's a blessing from God. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. So this seems a little bit foreign to our context because we don't have a lot of value for an arrow, lest you're a hunter like Andy, you know? But think about in Solomon's time. Solomon is writing this, And to have an arrow was protection and also provision. You had to hunt in order to have meat on the table, and you needed that arrow for protection. And children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Your kids are actually going to be your provision and be your protection. Most likely, we fast forward our lives and we come towards the end of our lives if God allows us to be elderly. And who are we going to know, and who's going to know us? It's a pretty short list. If you have kids, it's probably going to be your kids, maybe some grandkids, right? The people we know at work, even close friends, we may or may not know them, and they're probably not going to be too concerned to take care of us, right? They're going to be like, you're a good friend, but I'm in the same boat with you. Like, what are we going to do? Go to the nursing home together? You know, like, I don't know. We're probably not going to be able to take care of each other too well, but your kids are the ones that are there to be provision, to be protection. We get to be that for our parents. And then it says, so are the children of one's youth. This is not very cultural, right? This idea of, well, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have my career. I'm going to do all the things that I want to do. And then maybe at some point I'll decide to have kids. This is an Eric paraphrase, but I think what God's saying here is being a parent's a young man's game. Can I get an amen, right? It's like if you're married and you're young, you're blessed if you're able to have children in your youth. Now, what are we saying? Eric, have you seen inflation? Do you know how expensive it is? I can't afford to have a kid. You can never afford to have kids, right? And they're a blessing from the Lord. And when you're young, you've got the energy. You've got the energy to be able to apply to it. So it's something to pray through if you're a young couple, is to say, God, what's the timing that you would like for us to have kids? Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So arrows in the quiver. God's saying you're blessed if you're blessed with a quiver full of kids, and then kids will speak with your enemies in the gate. What happens when someone messes with your mom? Ooh, not so good, right? I'm going to stand up for my mom. I'm going to defend my mom. I'm going to be there for my mom. So your kids are the ones that will actually eventually take on your enemies, that will be there on your behalf. So this shows the value of the next generation, the value of kids. And I think this is also true in discipleship. So you see it on the wall when you come into the church on our website, be, make, send disciples. To be a follower of Christ, to invest in someone else, make a disciple, and send disciples is if you invest in younger people and you pour your life into them, there's going to be a time where it's a receiving as well. I do think there is cross-generational ministry that takes place. Yes, we get to minister to the next generation, but the next generation gets to minister to us. You know, aren't you blessed when you see young people come up here and lead worship? I'm blessed. You know, it encourages me that young people are passionate about Christ and are worshiping the Lord. You ever had one of your kids go, hey, Dad, give me your phone. I'll show you how to use that. It's like, we're benefiting from the next generation. They have things that are pouring into our lives as well. So there is cross-generational ministry that takes place. Let's turn to Psalms 78. Psalms 78. Point number two is tell the next generation. First, value the next generation, and the number two, tell the next generation. This is Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he has done. Remember, Ephesians 4 tells us to train children up, to instruct them. Well, what does it mean to instruct a child? What does it mean to invest in the next generation? Verse 4 tells us, Tell them the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he has done. I think a lot of times as Christian parents and kids growing up in church, going to Christian school, we oftentimes tell kids all the things that they should do and they shouldn't do, which I think is important. That's part of training a child up, but it's hugely secondary to the goodness of God. Amen? Like, what we really want our kids to know is how good God is. So where do we really know the goodness of God? In the gospel, that we're sinners, that Jesus loves, that he died for us and rose again. So we want to be looking for opportunities to tell our children of God's grace and God's goodness. That's what we want kids to know in children's ministry. That's what we want them to know in youth ministry, is the goodness of God. And that's what Psalm 78 is saying, is I'm going to tell the next generation of God's goodness. I think the next generation is asking the question, well, why should I follow Jesus? Why should I surrender my life to Jesus? Why should I live my life according to these set of standards that the Bible is telling me? It's because God is good. It's because God loves you. Do your kids or the person that you're mentoring or discipling, do they know God's story in your life? Sometimes our kids can grow up in our homes and they don't even know our testimony. And we're like, I don't know if I really want to tell my kids my testimony. You know, I don't really want them to know what I was like before I knew Christ as my Savior. Or let's be honest, we've continued to struggle since we've received Christ as our Savior. Times that we've failed as believers and done things that we thought we wouldn't do. It's so important to tell our kids what God has done in our lives. Tell them your story. Tell them of God's faithfulness, but also tell them of what God's doing presently. If your family is in a bind financially, share with your kids and pray about it together so that they can see God's faithfulness and they can see the answer to prayer. If God comes through, make sure to tell them. Make sure to share with them. I think we can do this in simple ways as well. Being up so early this morning, I saw the moon with the sun reflecting off the moon. It was an almost full moon and it was absolutely beautiful and with the snow. And it just reminded me of how good God is and how faithful the Lord is. And it may be as simple as saying, hey, did you see that sunset tonight? Man, God is good and he loves us. And he put that up there just to communicate his love to us. And so that's what we want to tell them. That's what we want to declare to the next generation, is the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works. In verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. So our generation proclaiming to our kids, then our kids can proclaim it to our grandchildren, our children, their grandchildren. So it's this legacy of passing on the goodness of the Lord. And then notice what the next generation does, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord, but keep his commands. So they've owned their relationship with God. They're hoping in the Lord and following after the Lord. It may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to the Lord. So Psalms 128 is this commission to say, let's tell the next generation. Let's tell the next generation of the goodness of the Lord. Then it's up to them. They get to decide if they want to trust Christ, follow Christ, but we want to make sure that they know. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, and this is where we'll end, is walk with the next generation. Walk with them. This is Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. The nation of Israel refers to this section of scripture as the Shema. It's a hugely important passage to them. If you go to an Orthodox service, to synagogue, they will recite this out loud together at every service. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And then you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Heart is mentioned twice here. There's this emphasis of loving God with our heart that then also overflows to our soul and with all of our strength. Before we walk with the next generation, we got to walk with the Lord. We got to walk with the Lord. Invest in your personal relationship with God, of saying, God, you've loved me, and I'm choosing to love you. I'm choosing to respond to the grace that you've given me, and I want to love you with everything that I am and everything that I have. I think this makes a huge difference over the course of a lifetime for those that are watching. And I had the privilege of watching my parents love the Lord and continue to love the Lord. I think that that's what Jalen Hurts was referring to in his interview, is I watched my dad for years, and it meant more to me in time. It meant more to me the older that I got. I understood what it was to be a godly leader. But where does it start? It starts with us having an authentic relationship with God that's not, well, I'm trying to get my kids to walk with God. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm choosing to love God. And this is a daily decision of choosing to love the Lord. And these words which I've commanded you today shall be in your heart. So loving God with everything that we have, and then allowing God's word to be in our heart. Remember the parable of the sower? Jesus said the seed was the word of God. And the different soils represented the heart condition. And is my heart good soil? Is my heart fertile soil for God's word to be in my heart? We can hear God's word, but there might not be any fruit because our hearts were hard. Our hearts weren't soft to the word of God. So that's why we're loving God with our heart, allowing God to make our heart good soil for the word. One of the best things that we can do for our kids and our own well-being is just to have a daily habit of being in God's word. And the enemy's going to try to attack that, but there's a few things that I think are helpful. And the first is rely upon the Holy Spirit. Before you start reading the word, ask for the Holy Spirit to teach you, because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Then have a plan. You know, it's difficult to read the Bible when you open it up and you're like, man, there's 66 books. What do I read this morning? What do I read tonight? And don't get too complicated on the plan. Like, any plan's a good plan. Maybe choose to read through the New Testament. Choose to read the Psalms and the Proverbs. Read a chapter a day. Read two chapters a day. But have that plan to say, I'm going to go through this section of scripture, just like you see here at RMC, where we go through books of the Bible, read through books of the Bible. And then I think it's really good to have an appointment. You know, okay, I'm going to do this at this time during the day. When I get up in the morning or my lunch hour before I go to bed, this is the time that I've set aside. It's amazing what God can do with 10, 15 minutes in the Word. You know, open it up and read it. And then for me, it's really helpful if I underline a verse that stands out to me, write it down in my journal. It helps me remember what I actually read, memorizing scripture. But the prayer is, I want God's word in my heart. I don't want it just in my head. I want it in my heart. Then teach them diligently to your children. And this is that decision to say, I'm going to declare the word of God to my kids. I want to be intentional and diligent about sharing the word with them. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So there's some touch points here. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit, when you are on your way. So there's some moments in the day where we tend to be able to connect as families. A lot of times morning is one of those. Look for that to be an opportunity. Can I declare God's word? Can I declare God's goodness? At the end of the night when you're going to bed, that's a great time to pray with your kids, to share with them some ways you've seen God's faithfulness. When you sit down for a meal, that's an opportunity to teach diligently. As we talked about, when you're in the minivan, this is an opportunity. But also, if you're investing in the next generation and they're not your kids, it's important to walk with them. What this is really implying here is to spend time with people. And a lot of things are more caught than taught, right? So let's just say, men, you're investing in a younger guy who's newly married. Of course, sit down, do some Bible studies on what it means to be a godly man, what our role is inside of marriage. But absolutely invite that couple to come hang out with you and just to spend time with your family. And I guarantee you that young man's going to learn more watching the way that you treat your wife and your kids than even in those Bible studies. And I don't want to diminish Bible study, because Bible study is so very important, but it also needs to be on display, right? There's only so much learning that can be done here in the sanctuary. We all need examples where we see it lived out. And this is what we find discipleship is in the New Testament. This is what Jesus did with the disciples. They heard a lot of his teachings, but they spent time with him and they saw Jesus's heart and his passion. They were able to learn from him. Paul had Timothy travel with him and said that Timothy was a son in the faith. And I think this is what it really means to walk alongside of the next generation, is spend time in the word together, but it's life on life. Let's hang out. Let's spend time together. You know, one of my personal heroes is a guy in our fellowship, and I won't say his name to embarrass him, but man, he's older than me, loves the Lord, loves old Chevys, and was gracious enough to take me into his garage, and we work on my old truck together. And we had some of the best conversations in his garage, talking about the Lord, talking about life, talking about parenting, what it looked like to be a godly man. And it was so cool because it was in his garage with power tools getting really dirty and smelling really bad. And that's what this kind of investment's like to reach the next generation. It's like, hey, man, let's go get a burger. Or gals, hey, come have coffee with me. Or, you know, there was several years back where there was a young gal in our church, and she was engaged and getting married and wanted to spend time with Amber, and we had young kids, and Amber's like, I don't have a lot of extra time, but you can come over to the house and I'm planting a garden and you can help me plant the garden. And the young gal's like, yeah, I would love to do that. And just spent time that summer planting the garden and hanging out. And it's what you're doing. Invite the next generation into it and get to know them and allow them to get to know you. And as you're walking and talking and doing different things, you're sharing who the Lord is. And that's biblical discipleship. And it's really, really, really powerful. And I got to tell you this, I really feel that the next generation is just longing for this. They are just craving for us to say, hey, would it be all right if we spent some time together? And we tend to think they'll say no. You know, I'm so old, I can't relate to them. And they're going, no, I'm ready to hang out. I'm ready to spend time together. And so we end out and says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, speaking of the word of God, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is having scripture posted in our homes as a visual reminder. So in our homes and our families, may God give us wisdom of how to be able to invest. One of the things that Deuteronomy 6 points out is time. You're spending time with your kids, with the next generation, and that time provides the teachable opportunities. Give the investment of time. And then if you're saying, you know what, maybe I don't have kids, or I'm in a position where I can invest in my kids as well as other kids, or I'm an empty nester, there's a lot of ways that you can invest in the next generation. We have marriage mentoring, and if you've been married 15 years or longer, we could use you as a marriage mentor. We're not looking for perfect couples. We're looking for couples that have learned some things and can be a listening ear and come alongside younger couples. But we have more young couples that want to be mentees than mentors. So you can get a hold of James here at the church office. Call the church office, look on the website, go to the info center. We'll get you plugged in if you want to be a mentor. In men's ministry and women's ministry, there's the opportunity to be a mentor. Both of those ministries have young men and young women that are longing to be mentored. Children's ministry and youth ministry. You know, we are blessed to have about 1,000 kids from infancy to fifth grade come to RMC every week. 1,000 kids that are longing to hear about Christ. And as a parent, my kids have really been blessed and benefited when they were younger to have people in the church invest in them as well. It's mom and dad are doing it at home, and then to have people in children's ministry to love and to point them to Christ is a huge, huge blessing. And then God's blessed us with a lot of kids here that maybe don't have the opportunity for it to be poured into them from home. So my wife's grandparents, amazing believers that have gone home to be with the Lord, and Amber's grandma grew up in a single mom home, and her mom did not go to church, and she grew up in St. Louis, and at a very young age, she started walking herself to church. She would just walk to church. And she spent all of her growing up years, elementary school, junior high school, going to church, and she became an awesome woman of God that God used powerfully. We have kids like that at RMC, where I don't know how they ended up here, but they ended up here. And this is their church home, and they're not getting it from home. So whether they are getting it from home or they're not getting it from home, there's a huge opportunity in children's ministry. There's an opportunity in youth ministry. I talked to Tyler today. They especially need men leaders in junior high. Junior high boys, gotta love all the energy, right? And some of you men might be saying, man, I got a heart for junior high boys. They're wet cement. Consider being a junior high leader. Tyler shared with us a few weeks ago here in the sanctuary that they just need adults that will come alongside and be mentors of youth. We have youth that are wanting to be mentored. Speaking of this next generation, we've got this Ignite conference coming up on March 21st and 22nd, and we need about 100 volunteers, adult volunteers, to come and serve the youth. And it's going to their breakout sessions with them. It's serving them food. It's set up and tear down. All of the kids that come, we give them a lunch. So we've got to prepare a lunch for them. And you might say, hey, I can't be a youth leader on an ongoing basis, or I can't, you know, be a mentor. But I think I could serve Friday night, or I could serve Saturday. But what a cool thing for the kids of our church to see the adults in the church loving and investing in them. And then kids are coming from all over the state and all over the country for that conference. But talking about this stuff gets me excited. It gets me excited to see what the Lord is doing. And as a parent, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. That investment, it's daily. We're not seeing the impact of it in the moment. Keep it up. Keep being faithful. Keep putting your heart into it. Keep pouring yourself into the life of your kids. Keep loving the Lord. It's having a big impact, and we're with you as a church. And if you have calling or opportunity to come alongside of the next generation, I mean, what if the next Billy Graham's grown up in our church? How cool is that, right? That we get to pour into and invest, and who knows? But God's got a plan for each and every one of those kids. And what they're growing up in their generation is a completely different world than what I grew up in. But God is good, and God is faithful, and he's getting a hold of the hearts of young people. And when you read the Bible, who did God use? He used young people. David was young, right? So if you are young, I want you to be encouraged. Go for God and go for the calling that he has. And for those of us that have the opportunity to come alongside of the next generation, there's going to be times in the life of our church where we give young people the opportunity to lead. And I want to thank you for your graciousness to give them that opportunity, right? Because we want to see God raise up the next generation of leaders. So if we always do everything, we're not giving them an opportunity to learn and grow and mature. That's part of us as a church ushering in this next generation. And I would love to see the Lord impact the youth of our city, but impact the youth of our country and impact the youth of the world. The enemy always goes after youth. Always goes after youth. Even secular businesses, who do they go after? It's like, why are you marketing youth? Because they know they can get a customer for life, right? So if the world and Satan's going after youth, how much more so for us to say, I'm going to target this next generation. So thanks for your investment. I really think this is the heart of our church. I see this all over our church of the next generation being invested in. And also if you're saying, hey, I need a mentor, I'm a young married couple, I'd like a marriage mentor, we'll do our best to get you one. Or you're saying, I would like someone to come alongside of me, please let us know. Please come talk with me. We'll see what we can do to get you connected. But until Jesus comes back, let's press into that next generation and see what God wants to do. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you're doing in our church and in our lives. And Lord, we do thank you for all of our kids. And for us as parents, Lord, would you strengthen us? Lord, where we're weary, where we need wisdom, Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit? We want to love you and love our children well. And God, we thank you for all of the kids and teens that you're bringing to our church and young adults. And God, would you raise up leaders? Would you raise up laborers to continue to invest in them? And we pray, God, that you would just bring more and more young people and you'd open up their hearts and their minds to your goodness, that they would know the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.